Welcome back to Snap Judgment, the Spook 7 Pitch Black Special. We're chasing after creatures that go bump in the night, and our next guest story takes place in a no man's land. Rocky Elmore is a retired Border Patrol agent, but back in the 90s, he was stationed just east of San Diego, right along the border fence, at a place called Otay Mountain.
And the border fence stopped at the foothills of Otay Mountain at a place called the Well Draw, and we also called it the Ended Fence. It is by far the roughest terrain anywhere on the U.S.-Mexico border. There were no residual lighting, no ambient lighting up there other than what the moonlight or stars might provide. Sometimes I got out of the vehicle and the vehicle totally disappeared, even though it was no further than 3 or 4 feet away. It was that dark. And according to the Kumeyaay tribe that lived in that area and had for many hundreds of years, it was forbidden for human beings to go up on Otay, and they never went up there. The only people that were ever up there were the people crossing over the mountain trying to get north and the agents up there trying to catch them. So we would wind up in a situation where we would be on one hilltop and they'd be on the next ridgetop, looking at each other and watching each other through binoculars and waiting for sundown to come and then try to see who was going to outmaneuver the other. What I wasn't quite ready for was the amount of physical closeness and contact it required to catch somebody in total darkness. We quite often laid in on the trail that the traffic would be coming down, maybe 1 foot off of it. And then you would begin to hear footsteps. You'd begin to hear the brush breaking. And you listen to them walk up to you, and you notice your breathing starts to get shallow. Your heart starts to race. Then when they got close enough, you merely stepped out on the trail and grabbed hold of the first person in line, which is the most dangerous person in the group, the smuggler. But even a hardcore smuggler, when he's taken by surprise, will completely just freeze for about a second. And you've got a second to say, in a voice not much more than a whisper, "Set down." This is something that nightmares are made of. This is something the boogeyman is made of. And after a while, you realize that you've become the boogeyman you once feared. So there's just this eeriness across the whole range that something just wasn't right. And maybe it was the silence. I don't know. It was just a very eerie place. And sometimes an agent will see something kind of strange. And guys don't want to talk about weird stuff. It's a good way to end your career. It's a good way to get laughed at and ridiculed. But every now and then, an agent, once he got to know you a little bit, trust you a little bit, would tell maybe one story. And everyone knew the story about Luis Santiago. Agent Santiago was originally from Ponce, Puerto Rico. And when we were in the same training unit, everyone noticed how worried he was about getting killed. And we were sitting outside on our lunch break, and about 10 of us was gathered around talking. And he said, "If you run into a group of 20 up there and they jump you, you're just dead, and that's it." And we all liked him, but he was comical. And we just thought he was being funny again, and we all laughed when he said it, and then went on about our business. But the night that I was actually supposed to work with Agent Santiago, I came down with a pretty bad cold. So I stayed home that night, and I was awoken from my sleep with this rhythmic beeping. Sounded kind of like a distress signal or something. And I hear it coming from inside my closet where I stored my equipment. So I open the closet door up, and I pick up my work walkie-talkie. And I thought, well, must have a short in it, and it was turned off, and I turned it on and back off again, and the beeping stopped. So I looked over at the clock, and the clock said 12:02. The next morning, I got a phone call, and they told me that they had detected traffic coming up the cliffs at Dam Canyon. But Agent Santiago, for some reason, broke away from the training officer and the other trainees, and he ran to the top of the cliff. Now, nobody knows for sure if he saw somebody up there or why he did that. but as he got up to the top of the cliff, everyone heard a scream. And they looked over and they saw Agent Santiago's light tumbling down the cliff. He landed on the rocks down below, and it had killed him instantly. And the estimated time of death was about 1 or 2 minutes after midnight. Officially, the death was ruled an accident, but nobody ever really believed that. And over the years, many different smugglers and guides have come forward saying they had information about Agent Santiago's death. That tells you that something was there. It wasn't an accident. So we all believe that there was a smuggler up there and the smuggler had pushed him over. I was in the processing area in our jail area where we process all the prisoners before we send them back. And a friend of mine, Bill, came over and said, "Hey, Rocky, those prisoners over there said they seen Santiago." And it really caught me by surprise, and I didn't even know what to think about it. And I started to get quite angry because I thought they were mocking his death. And Bill said, "No, Rocky, the prisoners said they seen Agent Santiago up on the mountain." And I walked over and looked at them, and those guys looked pretty shook up. They looked like they'd seen a ghost. And that was kind of the beginning of it. But a few days later, I was back in the field myself, and I was up on the mountain, and we had a group coming over, about 30 to 35 people. And then the agents on top said, "They've just stopped on the road for some reason. I don't know why. They're just standing there." I said, "Okay, well, let us know when they get moving." A couple minutes went by, and I called Miguel back up. I said, "Hey, Miguel, are they moving yet?" He said, "No." I said, "I don't know what happened." He said, "We hear crying in the group, and I think somebody stopped them." And when we got there, the whole group was still just standing in the road, which is very unusual because the first thing we always have everyone do is sit down. Some of the people were still crying, and they started telling us that a phantom Border Patrol agent had blocked their path and stopped them. And he told them that they were not going to pass and everyone was going to wait there. And he identified himself as Luis Santiago. First off, we thought, well, this must be a real agent just playing a joke. It's a very sick joke and we don't like it. We don't appreciate it, but it's got to be that. And it was the groups themselves that finally convinced us that this most definitely was nobody playing a trick. All of them said, "We can see through him. He's transparent. He floats across the terrain as he walks." So these encounters started stacking up, and eventually the story just got out. It was just happening too much. And this was one of those rare occasions where ghost stories and the paranormal was talked about out in the open at the station, even by management, and nobody was laughing. Everyone was just shaking their head. It's like, I have no idea what's going on, but this is legit. And as time went by, his apparition was seen progressively moving toward the dam at Otay Lakes. And it was moving that way along one of the routes, and we didn't know what to do with it or do about it. The traffic even started to cease in that area after dark. We got feedback that some of the smugglers were afraid to take their groups there. Some of the agents didn't even want to work the area. They were scared. In one case, a group had gotten left behind by their guide, and they had run out of water, had no food, and they were just about done for. And they were telling this to the agents the next day that had caught them. They said, "A Border Patrol agent came up to us last night, but he didn't seem real. But he started to talk to us, and he told us, if we follow this trail, you'll find water at the bottom. And we did exactly like he told us, and he saved our lives." And that kind of told us that Santiago's vendetta was against the guides. And when he found a group that was about to perish and didn't have a smuggler with them, he helped them. And that was the only time he ever helped a group. One night, I was assigned to the dam area, And I sat for 2 or 3 hours next to the cliffs where Agent Santiago fell. And by that time, I had heard, 10 or 15 of these different encounters, and my head was just swimming, trying to figure out what's going on with this, and, why is this happening? And I actually hiked down, I climbed down the cliffs to the bottom where Agent Santiago had died. All the medical equipment was still there from when they had tried to treat him. The sheet was there, the gloves. And it was like a fresh kick in the gut. And I began to wonder, had I not been sick and been there, would that change the equation? Would this not have happened? And after a few minutes of that, I just climbed back to the top of the cliff, tried to put my mind on something else. And then finally, on January 22nd, 1996, there was a group detected coming up those cliffs. Agent Arlo responded to it. And when he got there, this group started screaming that a Border Patrol agent shooting his weapon had chased them toward that cliff. 6 of them went off the cliff, and 1 of them was killed instantly. But the man killed was the smuggler. So Agent Arlo, the agent that responded first, came under suspicion of having done this. And the FBI did a paraffin test on his hand and his weapon, and it came back that Arlo had not fired a gun, and his weapon had not been fired either. So that kind of cleared him, but he's still their suspect. So they do a lineup, and the people who survived that didn't go over the edge can't pick Arlo out of the lineup. And they're actually very insistent that it was not Arlo that chased him over. It was a different agent. So they're kind of hitting a dead end here. And then finally, one of the agents that was helping the FBI in the investigation walked out, went into the hallway, took a photo down, and he didn't say anything to the FBI. He said, "Why don't you show this to him?" And all of them immediately identified the man in the picture as the one who chased him toward the cliff shooting at them. So the FBI said, call this guy in and let's get him. And then that's when the Border Patrol agents told them, said, "Well, you can't." And they said, "Why?" And the agent told them, "Because that's Agent Luis Santiago, and he was killed on that cliff last year." The theory that makes the most sense to me is that the smuggler that went over in that very last encounter was the one that pushed him over, and he got his vengeance for his own death. No one ever claimed to see a phantom Border Patrol agent again after that. But the night of his memorial service, I went home and went to bed, and I was sleeping along pretty sound, and in the middle of the night, I was woken up by the very same distress signal that I had heard the night of Santiago's death. And sure enough, it was my radio going off again. And I looked over at the clock, and the clock said 12:02. So I was just sitting there holding it this time, and shivers were going up and down my spine because now it had a whole new meaning. And I had this overwhelming feeling that somebody was on that radio and they wanted me to press that talk button and say something. And I couldn't do it because I was convinced I would get an answer back if I did. I don't know what I would have said to him. I guess I didn't know if he would say, "Where were you? Why weren't you there? Why didn't you come to work that night?" Or if he was just going to say goodbye. I didn't know. I just didn't have the courage to press that button and find out.
Thank you so much to Rocky Elmore for sharing this story with Snap. Rocky actually has a lot more. And I do mean a lot more stories about things both natural and supernatural from his time on the border. Check out his book, Out on Foot, Nightly Patrols and Ghostly Tales of a U.S. Border Patrol Agent. We'll have links at snapjudgment.org. The original score for that story was by none other than Renzo Goryeo.